Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running with episode number 119, the five pillars of an intelligent runner's training. Welcome to the Mojo for Running podcast. I'm the coach, Debbie Voiles, and this is the podcast for middle of the packers, regular people not afraid to work up a sweat, who embrace the outdoors and that wonderful feeling of endorphins surging through their veins. My goal is to provide the information you need to achieve your goals. Now to the five pillars of an intelligent runner's training. You all know that running success is more mental than physical. It's about making the right decisions as regards training. It's about having the tenacity to follow through with that training. And it's about being able to self-assess and adjust as needed, just as much as it's about putting one foot in front of the other. In that sense, it certainly is more mental than physical. Today, I'm breaking it down into five pillars. Stick to these guidelines and look forward to success. To goals achieved and a long and satisfying running career. Just two things first. As you know, I'm an advisor for the documentary film, The Human Race. And I was encouraging you all for the last year to support our crowdfunding campaign to make it happen. Well, we exceeded our goal, so filming has now been going on for a couple of months. And if you're in my Florida area, I can tell you that we'll be filming here in the fall and in January of 2018. We'll wrap up. It's all super exciting. This will be a feel-good, inspirational film that I feel certain will change lives. It'll get people started running, and it'll help them believe that they can continue. It'll help them through the hard times when they have an injury. And it'll motivate them and you to keep going, to keep doing what you're doing. I have a shout out for a couple of our contributors, Andy and Chuck Bram. Thank you so much for your help. The second thing, I know you're wondering where I've been, why you didn't get a podcast episode for months. Well, I won't get into that now because, after all, you've been waiting all this time. I don't want you to wait more. But in case you do want to hear something about what's been going on with me, why I haven't been doing podcasts recently, I'll explain that at the end of this episode. Now, let's get into the five pillars of a smart runner's training. One is train in cycles. This means don't do race after race, a race every month or so. The thing is, you need to first build a base. That's a lot of long, or not necessarily long, but a lot of miles, just easy miles over a period of weeks or even months. And then you change it up, and then you change it some more. And I'll explain that in a second. If your goal is to PR, then you need to follow an appropriate schedule, appropriate for you and for your goals. And you should spend 6 months working up to that race, at least 6 months if it's a full or a half. Really, that's ideal. In fact, ideal is probably to do only one full per year. Too many people are just too impatient. They do a couple of weeks of speed work, and then they think it's going to do miracles. Well, it's not that simple, that quick, or that easy. First, you build your base. Then you add some race-specific speed work. Then you get more race-specific as you get closer to the race itself, to the end of the cycle. And then you reduce your mileage to taper. Rest your body, to put you in the best possible position to achieve your goal. Now, if you're doing shorter races like 5Ks or 10Ks, then your macro cycle can, of course, be a little bit shorter. If you want to see results, then you must also change it up. You know, there's that saying, if you keep doing the same thing, you'll get the same results. Well, if you get a PR, then you may be thinking, I should do exactly the same thing again. And you might want to. However, I think if it was me, I would always tweak it, change something. One problem is that when a runner PRs, that runner may go back and repeat exactly the same training cycle and get a different result because that's the nature of running. But sometimes that result isn't what they want. You know, if they PR'd the last time, let's say they PR by, well, it's hard to say because it would depend on the race distance. Let's say it was a half marathon, they PR by 3 minutes. They go back and do exactly the same thing in their training the next time and they PR by 5 seconds and they think, you know, what happened? But the thing is, you know, you can look at that two different ways. In my opinion, I would always tweak something. In almost every case, it's a good idea to change something in the next cycle. And I believe you'll be more likely to further drop your time if you do that. Don't change a lot of things. If you know, most people have some sense of what's working the best for them. Keep that, but try to tweak some of the other things. One thing for sure, one reason for doing that is that if you keep doing the same thing for months on end, you'll become stale and you'll seldom get PRs. So the whole idea of a cycle, of a macro cycle, is that you're changing it up over that period of months quite a lot, going from building your base to then doing some generalized speed work and getting more specific and then tapering. That is going to require doing a lot of different things over that macro cycle, and that will help to keep you fresh and help to keep you interested. Training and carefully planned cycles, adjusted when needed, will almost surely prevent overtraining as well. And I think that's something that most people don't worry about as much as they should. Many runners are frequently in an overtrained state. And I did a whole podcast episode about that. So if you're curious, if you have a problem with like feeling like you're worn out all the time, go back and look for that specific podcast. Training in cycles keeps you fresh, healthy, motivated, and it'll make it much more likely that you'll succeed in achieving your goal. And after all, that's the key. A word about how training cycles improve motivation too. Doing the same thing over and over is boring. And consider this. Most of us see our training, our running, as a hobby. We train in a certain way, inject different amounts of different types of cross-training, and experiment with different fuel sources or tweak our diets to see what works best. If you do the same thing over and over, the whole thing gets dull. Keep it fresh, change it up, and that will help you to keep at it. The second pillar is this: take vacations from training. By vacations, I mean vacations from hard training and total vacations. Now, some people will freak at the thought of taking time off from running completely, but it is actually a very good idea. I don't mean months, although that is sometimes appropriate, especially if someone is really overtrained, but at least a week, at least once a year. More on that in another podcast, because that's a huge topic and I have a lot to say on it. But at least give yourself a 3-day respite every 6 months. And that typically dovetails nicely with training in macro cycles, as in pillar one. Now, I don't mean sit around on the couch, not at all. Go ahead and ride your bike, swim, walk, do yoga, rollerblade, but give your body a rest from running. This is super hard for some people to do, but considered a mental test. Pillar three. Keep your training in perspective. This overlaps with the prior pillar. Taking those days away from running will help you give time to evaluate your running and whether it's occupying the most constructive position in your life, whether it's facilitating you in achieving your life goals or getting in the way. And sometimes that happens. If you have kids, especially if they're young, keep in mind that you can't get these years back. If you miss your daughter's softball games and your son's violin recitals, you won't have the opportunity for a redo a few years down the line. Your kids will only be young once. Sometimes I think people get carried away feeling like they must do a marathon because their friends are doing them. Don't succumb to peer pressure. You can certainly do a marathon when the kids are older. Just something to think about. Pillar number four, get advice from experts. Try to avoid depending on the advice of friends when the situation warrants a professional opinion. Whether you're dealing with an injury or trying to decide whether you're ready for a given race distance or just trying to choose a goal race, get the advice of a coach or a specialist. I've heard in many cases when people wait months before seeking the advice from experts, and then they usually pay the price in the end by being forced to take a lot of time off of running. So there are a lot of different areas. I'm talking about medical experts that might give you advice about an injury, but I'm also talking about talking to a coach about, for example, what kind of a macro cycle would be best, or what kind of a schedule is best, or what race that would be appropriate for you to do. There are a lot of reasons. And the one thing about runners is everybody's really friendly and happy and anxious to help each other. And so they always offer their advice. I'm just saying, keep in mind who you're getting the advice from, and be sure to listen from people who have the background to be able to give you answers that you know you can rely on. Number five, learn to take injuries in stride. I couldn't resist that pun, so I apologize. What I mean is that instead of getting all worked up and thinking it's the end of the world, or thinking that you're washed up, or that you just don't have the body for it, have the attitude that injuries are a part of any sport, and running is no different. Whether you played soccer, rollerbladed, cycled, you get injured from time to time in any of those. Keep in mind that you run, at least in part, to stay healthy. Despite occasional injuries, running will keep your heart healthy and help you control your weight and live long, a long life with a great quality of life. Generally, the kind of injuries people have are pretty much superficial. They go away in a few weeks or a few months. Keep in mind that while injuries are incredibly aggravating, they're always temporary. A few months ago, well, actually, this was back in December. I don't know if I've mentioned this in a podcast, but I had a pretty serious skiing fall and severed my ACL. I was facing it that time. I didn't even go to the doctor at first because I didn't think it was that bad. But it just wasn't stable and I couldn't get back to running. When I found out what was wrong, that I had a totally severed ACL, I was facing a couple of months off from running and then several months of rehab if I didn't have surgery. And even then, they said there was a 50-50 chance that the rehab wouldn't work. And if it wouldn't work, I'd have to have the surgery. And if I had the surgery, you can't repair an ACL. You have to have a graft put in there. And that requires long-term rehab. And they said I would be 100% again, but not for a whole year. I said to myself, my phrase that's become my favorite in dealing with the things that come up in life that are sometimes hard to deal with. And that is, it is what it is. I couldn't change anything. I did get a chance to make the choice of either having the surgery or having the rehab. And I'm happy to say I had the rehab. And well, I haven't done any more marathons yet, but I can run 13 miles without pain, without problems. So it just taught me one more lesson. And that is that I can't control everything. And that if I want to live life, I might get hurt. In even when I'm not running. So anyway, you know, but I believe that you learn from every experience. And I am not a patient person. So I kind of think going through this last, now it's been 9 months, has probably been good for me in many ways. It certainly strengthened me and forced me to pay attention to personal training and some cross training. And in the end, when I'm 100% again, I'll probably be a better runner than I was before the injury. So, you know, just take every injury in stride. Whether you have to be off a few weeks or months, consider it a mental test. Be strong. Get a calendar. Count the days. But remember that you're strong. And when you return to running, it'll be with the sweetness of spending that time with a great friend who's been away for too long. Believe me, that's what I feel like now when I'm out there. Okay, that's it. That's the five pillars. Now, for those of you who were surprised to find this episode dropped because I've been on a hiatus for so long, I want to take a few minutes to explain where I've been and why. Most people don't know or don't think about what funds podcasts beyond advertisers. Well, there is almost nothing. Although this podcast has seen almost 500,000 unique downloads, they were all free. And that's why I've been away. My local business and my life keep me very busy. And so while I love doing the podcast, it's very hard for me to justify the time away from Run Tampa and from my family. I've decided to resume it for a trial period of 6 months. If I get some committed advertisers, then I'll be able to put out more episodes more often. You may have listened to other podcasts that suddenly stopped. Well, that's usually why. All podcasters deal with this problem. We can get advertisers, but without 100,000 downloads per episode, and only about 1% of podcasts actually get that, even then, advertising income doesn't amount to much when it comes to the number of hours involved, at least for a show like this one. You see, most podcasters interview people. And as you know, I almost never do that. Podcasters that do interviews often have what they call booking calendars. They invite a guest, and if the guest agrees, they send the guest to their calendar, their online calendar, to sign up for an interview slot. The podcaster then gets on Skype with that guest for, say, 30 minutes to an hour. The episode then goes to the editor. That makes it possible for them to do a half dozen episodes in just one day. I'm not bashing those. It's a good interview. If it's a good interviewer and a good interviewee, they can be great. I listen to them all the time. But as you well know, I don't usually do interviews. It's all coaching here. At least it's always been that until now. My episodes take several hours each to plan, research, record, and after they return from the editor, to post and promote via social media. So the point is, I'm back at it for at least the next 6 months. And in fact, by the way, I have 33 more episodes already planned. Things that I'm excited about doing. In fact, I'll tell you a few of the topics. I'll tell you about 20 of them, I think. About 20. Running in early or late or early or late time of day when it's dark out. What to do about lights and safety in those situations. Knee surgery. I have some interesting knee surgery anecdotes that I think will help you if you ever have knee issues yourself and have to make that decision. I want to do an episode about obsessive running because sometimes that it's just like that with a lot of things. You can get carried away, and I think that's something people need to look at and think about and self-evaluate. Treadmill running. You might think I'd hate that. A lot of people do. I don't at all. I think it's got its place, and I want to do a whole episode about that. Racing and running horror stories submitted by listeners. An interview with my friend, the well-known running podiatrist, Brian Fulham, about how to prevent foot and ankle injuries. In fact, I want to do a second interview with him because I think we can do a whole podcast episode about the dreaded plantar fasciitis. Also, I want to talk about what to do if you lose your running mojo. You know, I actually titled this podcast Mojo for Running. I got the idea from a friend when I was messaging her back and forth, or maybe it was email, I can't remember. But I said, where have you been? And she said, I've lost my running mojo. And right after that's when I started this podcast. Also, I want to do an episode about what to do the week before your goal race in order to stack the cards in your favor. An episode about how to run trails and why I think everybody should try to run trails, why I recommend it. And I want to do an episode about tapering, what it is and how to do it. About running organizations. There's an awful lot of those and most people don't know what they're all about. I want to do another podcast about the different kinds of speed work. I haven't touched on that in quite a while. The value of a good trainer, how to find one, what to look for, and what is an indication that they're good and what's an indication that you should find someone else. What to think about when you hire a trainer. Gear also. Another topic is, are your easy runs too fast and are your hard runs hard enough or too hard? How to think about stride length. The green movement in racing and race management. I've got many more ideas too. It's interesting. Literally, every time I host a run, and that's five times a week, I come home with ideas for topics for podcasts. Usually, as soon as I get in the car, I pull up my phone and I go to the little notes section and start taking notes for podcasts. If you work with any company that you think would like to become a long-term underwriter for this show, please introduce us because that would make all the difference. Now, of course, as always, I have a quote for you. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. That's from Lou